Hello and welcome to BSN Extra. I'm your host, Jason Barfield. We've got QB1 in studio today. Looking forward to talking to Hunter Watson after game number one as the starting quarterback of the Bearcats. He helped lead the Bearcats to a 34-14 win over the Rice Owls. We're going to talk about that game and his football journey, how he ended up here at Sam Houston. All of that coming up in just a moment right here on BSN Extra. Hey Bearcat fans, there's a new way to follow the Cats all season long. Download the BSN Plus app today on your Apple TV, Roku, or Fire TV devices. Enjoy live audio streaming, interviews, highlights, studio shows, and podcasts on your TV at home. Just search for BSN Plus on Roku and Fire TV or Bearcat Sports on Apple and download for free today. And welcome back to BSN Extra. I'm your host, Jason Barfield, and we've got Sam Houston starting quarterback Hunter Watson here in studio. Hunter, thanks for joining us.
Sir, thank you for having me.
First off, I mean, let's talk about the game on Saturday. We'll get into your journey here and the recruiting process and all that, but let's start with the game against Rice. Talk to me just a little bit about just pregame, what it was like, you know, walking down the tunnel. I know, you know, you went through the whole battle during camp to earn the job. What were those initial moments like for you?
It was honestly very emotional just because of the journey getting there and the battling that we went through and going through the torn meniscus in the spring and the summer. And then, so it was very emotional and very surreal at the same time. But I mean, I loved every moment of it and I had a great time. It was a great time. It was a great atmosphere and it was just great to be there.
When you look at just kind of the whole pregame process, the bus ride over, the, you know, walking into the locker room for the first time and all of that, what you talk about it being emotional. What were the emotions like? What, you know, as you're loading up from the hotel and you're making the ride over and y'all pull into the stadium, just kind of talk me through just what's going through your mind during all of that?
It was a little bit of jitters at first, but it was more so emotional on the side of just I was very happy to be able to get back and be blessed with the ability to come back from an injury like that and just be able to make it back in time for the season and be able to be out there with my brothers and play with them.
So you go through the battle, obviously, injured a little bit, so there you didn't get to go through the full spring, and you know you missed parts of fall camp, and you know what was that like? You know, as you're, you know, your first year here, you're trying to make an impression. Obviously, you're trying to win a starting job. Was it discouraging from your end? What was that process like as you're knowing you're trying to fight for a starting job?
I wouldn't say discouraging because I knew that I had God by my side each and every step of the way, and but it was very upsetting to hear the news when it first happened. But we have a great training staff, a great coaching staff that helped me along the whole entire way, so that made it a lot easier to get to where I am now. And I just had to shout out Miss T because she did a great job and helped me with the whole entire process.
So let's get into the game. Second drive. You see Quavez kind of break free. Talk to me about that play.
I mean, it really was not supposed to go to Quavez because they trapped the corner, which is like a cover two look. So that's why I kind of rolled out because we were kind of in a bad situation there and I was trying to get us out of it. So, but I think they had one of their corner or safety busted and I saw him down the field, hit him, and it was crazy. It wasn't supposed to happen like that.
Did you know you had it right off? I mean, like, you threw the ball and you were like, yeah, this is it.
Yes, sir. Once I saw him start backpedaling and stuff, yeah, I knew he was going to catch it.
So talk to what on that play. Was that what he was supposed to do, or was that an adjustment that he had made on that play? Or, you know, kind of what you said that wasn't exactly what was supposed to happen. In your mind, you know, when you look at that play, on that play call, what is supposed to happen there?
He did his job. He did everything totally right. But when they give us that cover two look, it's just for that kind of concept. It's kind of a bad look for us, and I was just trying to extend the play at that point, and then I saw that they busted or something, and he was wide open down the field, so I just hit him.
You talk about pregame jitters and, you know, first drive jitters, everything. How much does that take off of you when you hit a play like that?
Oh, it was all after that, all the jitters and stuff were gone. I was ready to go and compete and play every possession.
So, like, a couple minutes later, the pick six comes. Is that just double up on that for you guys?
Yeah, it was a big relief. I mean, that was crazy. That was a huge momentum swing, too. And our defense definitely made our life a lot easier the whole entire game.
I'm about to say seven three and outs in the game. Defense came to play. You guys came to play offensively, though. I mean, you know, obviously you weren't a part of this team last year, but the start of the season was very well documented about the struggles and, you know, an 0-8 start and everything like that. And I think you touched on this a little bit in your post-game press conference where you did feel a little bit of pressure to kind of help turn the tide of what happened last season. As this game was going and y'all just kind of kept moving and moving with it, was that ever part of your thought process during the game, or was it something you were able to more reflect on afterwards?
It was more so something I was able to reflect on afterwards. During the game, I was so locked in on each and every possession, trying to go down there and get points on the board for us. It was a lot of pressure because they did start out 0-8, and I wanted to be able to get us a win off the bat to hopefully extend that throughout the season.
So obviously the start was so big for you guys, getting the big touchdown, getting the pick six to jump out 14-0. They cut it to 17-7, and, you know, it's within striking distance. Talk to me about that drive, though, at the end of the half, because, you know, I think that might have been maybe the biggest drive of the game for you guys, to be able to march down and get that touchdown to Ife right before the half. Just tell me a little bit about that drive and just kind of what the thought process was as y'all were building towards the end of the half.
The thought process was not just to go out there and get a big play right off the bat. It was to get out, go have a great drive, you know, hit some undershots, get a couple first downs, and then we got the big shot call. And then when you got a guy like Ife, anything is possible, because I honestly thought I overthrew that ball, but he's so fast that he just ran it down. He tracked it down quick.
I'd say he came from the other side. Yeah. So you're talking, at what point did you catch Ife in your peripherals? I mean, at what point did you see him kind of flashing across? Was he always going to be the target on that, or was that something you kind of picked up?
It's kind of a post-snap read with the safety. Once I saw the safety bite down, because I was selling the run, once I saw him bite down, I saw Ife cross the other safety's face, and I knew it was wraps from there.
So you just put it in the air and let him run underneath it, huh?
Yeah, he makes my life easy, for sure.
See, we've seen Ife make those plays. As soon as you – I think you stepped back, and I was like, oh, he's got Ife. That was normal for us, he can go get it. How big of a comfort level is that as a quarterback to know you've got guys who can go get balls like that?
It makes my life 100% easier, because those guys, our whole entire wide receiver room is deep, and they can all make plays, and I just got to put the ball in their vicinity, and they're going to be able to come down with it. But with a guy like Ife, you really just put a little bit of air on it and throw it, honestly, like as far as you can, and he's going to run under and grab it every time.
What was the conversation like in the locker room at half?
It was more so just keep our foot on the gas and keep going. Don't let up, because – obviously a lot last year they had a lead at times, and then they let it go. So that was the point of emphasis I try to make in there, was just to keep our foot on the gas, keep going, and the game wasn't over yet. So,
and then to kind of double up on the Ife touchdown, you come out second half, opening drive, and march down, use about 5 minutes of clock and get the touchdown, another big score for you guys.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that was great, too. It was a great long drive, too. I think that kind of took the wind out of them, too, their defense and everything. And JG finished it off. And, that was I think that really took the life out of their whole entire team.
So, post-game locker room, first time to be in there, listening to a post-game Keeler speech, the song, the dancing. Talk to me about the feels there in the locker room afterwards.
There was so much joy just with everyone in the locker room, just to be able to get that first win. And it was a big relief. And everybody doubted us the whole entire process going up, leading up to that game. They had us losing by, I think, two touchdowns and all this. But I mean, it was a big relief to get in there and get the win, and just to have everybody be happy was amazing to me. I mean, I was filled with joy.
So how much did you know about what happened after a win? Have you heard the song yet, Way Down in the Valley? Was that all completely brand new for you after the game?
I had heard it, but it was pretty new to me. I didn't, you know, I was more so just watching, just trying to process it and listen to it, and it was awesome to hear, because I mean, I want to keep on hearing it every single game, you know.
That was probably one of the louder renditions of it. You could see there was a little something extra in that one this past weekend. So let's kind of get back to fall camp and the quarterback battle. Just kind of what was that like for you guys as y'all are kind of competing for this job, and what was the quarterback room like, and you know, how has this been?
It was great, because we were all great competitors. It was a friendly battle. Like, there was nothing, like, there was nobody mad or anything like that. It was a great friendly battle, and we competed with each other, and the whole process was great. And like, Jace Bauer and Grant Gunnell are two great players, and I think they could have gone out there and they could have won that game as well. Like, that's how much I believe in them as well.
How much do y'all feed off each other in practice? I mean, how much are y'all bouncing off of each other, and what is that daily process like?
I think every single play, every single rep, we're still competing. So that helps me a lot, to keep me striving to be better each and every play, because they're there to push me and to make me better.
So obviously the depth chart said at the quarterback position. So it wasn't announced really officially until about an hour before the game, I think, is the first time it went out. When did you find out that you were going to be the starting quarterback?
The week leading into that, the first week of prep for Rice.
So that week of Rice's when you found out. So who's the first phone call to?
My dad and my brother, actually, at the same time.
Those are
two people that have been with me the whole entire ride, and they have supported me through every step of the way, no matter where I was, no matter what level I was at. They helped me, and yeah, so they were the first call after, and they were ecstatic.
I was say, how'd that phone call go?
Oh man, they were so happy. It's been a long time coming with the whole process and how my whole college journey has gone. And so my dad was super happy and super proud, and my brother was super happy. He played football at North Texas for a little bit, and so it was a big accomplishment for me, and I was happy to be able to make them proud.
Does that change your approach week of practice? I mean, do practices change for you at all once that decision is made? I mean, or is it still kind of the same business as usual approach?
I took it as still the same business as usual, and I took it as, like, I could go out there and start having terrible practices, and then I don't go out there and start on Saturday. So I took it, and I kept on working and kept trying to be my best and kept trying to compete with Grant and Jace, and yes, sir.
So when you look at, you know, this first week's game, and you start kind of breaking it down, obviously you're looking at all the good stuff and the 34 points and everything like that. What are some of the things that you're taking away from it from a quarterback standpoint that you're like, I got to get better at this? This, you know, week one out of the way, these are the things, now that I've played a game with these guys, these are some of the tweaks that I need to make.
I would say I definitely need to learn how to slide. That's the first thing, because it's definitely a big jump from JUCO to the FBS Division I level. And I noticed that real quick. But the other thing is just picking up protections and getting the ball out of my hand faster. Stop holding on to the ball when I don't need to hold on to the ball.
You don't want to be as friendly with that ice bath after a game as you had to be after this first one?
No, sir. No, sir.
Took a few shots there. You got welcome to FBS football pretty quick, didn't you?
Definitely. Yes, sir.
I'm about to say, what you talk about that transition. What is the difference? What were the things that you're seeing that you're like, okay, this is a little bit different level of football?
I think the game is just faster, and it's definitely more competitive as a whole. I mean, JUCO, there's some really great players there, obviously. But, I mean, I think as a whole team game, I think it's just better competition.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your football journey. Go back to high school, the recruitment process, and ultimately how you ended up landing here at Sam Houston. So we'll be back in just a moment here on BSN Extra. Hey, Bearcat fans. There's a new way to follow the Cats all season long. Download the BSN Plus app today on your Apple TV, Roku, or Fire TV devices. Enjoy live audio streaming, interviews, highlights, studio shows, and podcasts on your TV at home. Just search for BSN Plus on Roku and Fire TV or Bearcat Sports on Apple and download for free today. And welcome back to BSN Extra. Jason Barfield here with Hunter Watson. And Hunter, let's talk about your football journey now. Growing up in Waco, moved to Salina, junior high. Is football always your sport? Did you play other stuff? Kind of what were you involved in kind of growing up in terms of sports?
Growing up, I always played football, basketball, and baseball. Baseball, I would say when I was younger, was my main sport. I played it year-round. I loved it and kind of got burned out on it once I got into high school. But once I moved to Salina, that's when I realized like my love for football was unmatched, because Salina is a huge, huge football town. I mean, they had 8 state championships, one of the longest win streaks in Texas football history. And you can really feel how much they love the game and how much they support the high school athletes.
Well, I'd say when you get into like a community like that, and certainly all the tradition of Salina, and you see the state championships, that just kind of change your perspective a little bit on football and kind of what it means when you see what it means to a town like that?
Yes, sir. It definitely did. It definitely fueled me to have an older brother as well, and I got to be the ball boy on the sidelines and watch him. He went to the state championship and unfortunately lost. So that fueled me for sure, and watching him and being able to just feel the atmosphere of the Salina football, and it was just amazing. And then I just honestly, I was like, I think I'm done with baseball now. I think it's football, football, football.
Did you still play baseball, basketball at Salina, or was that something that ultimately it became football only?
I actually played football, basketball, and baseball all throughout high school.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So still stayed active with it. I guess at Salina, you probably, when you're an athlete like that, you're probably expected to play everything, huh?
Yes, sir, for sure.
So, you know, was it always quarterback for you, or did you play other positions? Is it something you transitioned to, or was it, you know, from junior high ball on, were you quarterback?
I played running back growing up, and I started playing quarterback my freshman year of high school. It was something that me and my dad talked about doing since I was a little kid. And, I mean, I could always throw the ball very well. I'd throw the ball hard in baseball. So, I mean, we started doing some lessons there, and I began to grow and grow and grow. And I loved quarterback a lot more than I loved running back, because I got the ball every single play.
So I think we saw some of those running back skills on Saturday. Was it always kind of running quarterback? Was that kind of the style that you kind of used that running back skill that you had and just kind of transitioned it into quarterback as well?
Yes, sir. That definitely helped with being able to run the ball. And we did a lot of running with the quarterback when I was in high school. So, yes, sir.
So at what point did you become varsity QB1?
My junior year of high school.
Okay, so you had two years at quarterback. So really, when the recruiting process starts and everything like that. So let's kind of go through that. What was the recruiting process like for you?
Not much. I only had one offer out of high school to Arkansas Monticello, where I went. It's a small Division II school.
Bollweevil.
Yes, sir, Bollweevil. And, that was my only offer out of high school. Didn't get much looks. Didn't get really anybody talking to me. We didn't throw the ball too much in high school. We were solely based. We had a running back who's playing football at Navy right now, so he was great. And it was more so me and him just running the ball a lot.
So what – you spent 2 years at Arkansas Monticello, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So kind of the same kind of thing. Was it a quarterback battle? Did they have an established quarterback? Kind of what were those 2 years like for you?
They had an established quarterback, and then they had another older dude that was in front of me as well. So I never really got the opportunity to play quarterback there at Monticello, but ended up meeting a coach, and who ended up going to JUCO to be an offensive coordinator, and that's how I got to the JUCO.
So that's how you ended up at Iowa Western. Yes, so how big of a difference was it for you then going from Arkansas Monticello to Iowa Western?
No, it was a huge difference just from the football perspective, because Monticello, I mean, they had a great team. We had a couple bad seasons. So, and then I would go to the Iowa Western where they had just won a national championship. So everything was different in that aspect. And then the coaching staff, I could just feel the difference between how they prepped for certain things and how they helped prep us. And I'd say the game was faster as well. JUCO, from Division II to JUCO, but it was still the same game.
And it looked like it was probably an offense that fit your style a little bit too. You got to throw just under 2,000 yards, but running for over 700 yards as well. How much of that was designed? How much of it was just kind of encouraged? If it's not there, tuck it and run. What was that offense like? Was it tailored for you, or was it something they were already doing and you just fit in well to what they had there?
I think it's more so they kind of changed it up for me because they knew that I could run very well. And the OC, like I said, he met me in Monticello, and he liked what he saw, and he could tell I could run there. So once I got to Iowa, that was one of the main focuses, was to be able to get me to run the ball.
How big of a change is it just from a mindset standpoint? You know, you kind of talked about it at Salina and having a rich history, but stepping into a program that has those expectations.
It was a bit overwhelming at first because there are high expectations every single year you're at Iowa Western, because they win. They love to win, and Coach Stroh is a great coach. So he helped me calm my mind down and helped me just go out there, just play, relax, don't worry about all the expectations and stuff. But definitely high expectations for the Iowa Western program every single year.
And so you guide them to another national championship, but at the same time you're also going back through the recruiting process again. And so talk to me again at kind of round two of recruiting for you. What was that process like, and kind of where did Sam Houston kind of come into the picture?
At first it was just a lot of not smaller, but Division II programs. I had some good, very good Division II programs like Northwestern Missouri State and University of Texas Permian Basin offered me. And then I started getting more looks in the Division I level towards about week 8 or 9. And Sam Houston, I would say, they came in around the week of Hutch, which was our last week of the regular season. And then they came out, they watched the first round of the playoffs, and then Coach Korn obviously flew out and watched us play in the Natty. So,
Natty ends. How quickly did you go from that to Sam Houston?
I think it was 2 days after, so almost immediately.
And was it something that you saw Sam Houston and you were like, yeah, this is the fit?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, immediately once they texted me and asked me to come on a visit, I texted my dad, told him I'm not gonna be home until, you know, so and so, such and such day, and he was like, okay, go ahead. I knew immediately that if they did offer me, that I was going to most likely commit if everything worked out.
I'm going to say, how involved was your dad in the process, or was it he kind of at that point kind of sat back and said, you know, kind of let you handle it and let them know what you feel is best?
He let me handle the whole entire thing. He was obviously a big role into it, and I would ask him, I had tons of questions for him. He helped me along the way, but he never tried to point me in one direction or the other. But he definitely played a big role in my decision, though.
You know, when you look at what Sam Houston did last season, you know, a 3-9 record and obviously the slow start, what was it then about Sam Houston that once you visited, once you kind of got to know everybody, that you said, this is where you wanted to continue playing football?
Well, I knew Coach Keeler was a great coach. And I did my research on Coach Korn, and he's had a great career, and he's a great coach as well. And then being able to fly out here and talk to them in person, learn more about how they do things around here in the program, that helped a lot as well. And then obviously going from Iowa to Texas, that's pretty far. So being a lot closer to home helped as well.
I'm about to say, was a big part of that process just being closer to home and getting back to the state of Texas?
Yes, sir, for sure, because it's definitely been too long.
So let's look at this season then. Week one out of the way, got the win. You guys have Central Florida this week. Just what's the prep like for Central Florida?
The prep is just to be our best selves each and every day. And our thing is kind of to just let's go 1-0 every week, 1-0 every day, 1-0 every practice, 1-0 every rep. And we're just grinding and trying to be better. We know UCF is they're a great opponent, and they're a big school, and they have great athletes, and they're fast. But we think we match up well against them, and we think we're not going to go in there like they probably think and just be some slouch. We're going to go in there, we're going to compete, and we're gonna give them a run for their money.
You know, obviously with this program, this is year one for bowl eligibility. So this is a big year. This is first year of full-fledged FBS member. For a lot of these guys, this is the first time they're playing for something. Just kind of going through the transitions since the national championship season. There's a few carryovers from the national championship. But for a lot of these guys, this is the first time that you've had something tangible at the end of the year. Does that get talked about much? I mean, how big of a conversation is potential bowl, conference championship game? How big a part of the conversation is that?
I'd say the biggest goal for us is to win the conference. I think that's the goal for everybody. But obviously we want to make it to the bowl game. That is a goal as well. And to be able to make a bowl game and win a bowl game would be a huge thing for this program. First one in FBS. And that, it's talked about for sure. And we know that's the end goal for sure.
When you look at game one and you think about the things that, hey, if we go out and do this better, we can be here. If we do this better, we can be here. Where is the ceiling for this team? I mean, what do you think this offense and this team as a whole can get to?
Oh, I think the sky is the limit. I don't think we even played our best game on Saturday, and I don't think a lot of people realize that either. We got a lot of things that we're cleaning up right now and that we can clean up. And the sky is definitely the limit. And we're just going to continue to get better each and every week and grow, and people are going to see that.
All right. Well, appreciate you coming in and sitting down and talking. I think a name not a lot of people knew probably a week ago around Huntsville and Sam Houston and certainly around the country, but I think more people are knowing it now, and I think you've brought a lot more eyes to the Bearcats after week one. So it's going to be I'm looking forward to this year and, looking forward to everything else you've got going.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. Appreciate it. Well, that's going to do it for us here on BSN Extra. We'll be back as we continue to follow this football season and everything going on in Bearcat Athletics. This week's episode is recorded in the all-new studios in the Wood Forest Bank Athletic Center. This episode was written and produced by Jason Barfield. All music is courtesy ScottHolmesMusic.com. This has been a presentation of the Bearcat Sports Network.